The search for that missing AirAsia passenger jet, 162 souls on board, that search will resume, or probably has done by now, first light this morning. Indonesian authorities suspended the search in the dark of last night. Military planes from Indonesia and Singapore searching off the southwest coast of Borneo, where the plane disappeared while on a flight from Indonesia to Singapore. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott has pledged the assistance of a P3 Orion to join in that effort as well. Joining me now, veteran aviation writer Jeff Thomas. He's editor of the world's only airline safety rating site, airlineratings.com. Jeff, welcome.
Good morning, Jonathan.
We're shooting in the dark here, but any sense, do you think, at this point of what might have happened to that aircraft?
Look, we are indeed shooting in the dark, and it's very dangerous to speculate. However, what we do know is that weather appears to be a major factor in this. Mm. The pilot requested a deviation from his flight path. He also requested an altitude change from 32 to 38,000 feet. He was at 36,000 feet. We also have some radar plot information, and that information shows him at 36,000 feet, but travelling approximately 160 kilometres too slowly. Now, at that altitude, according to airline captain that I have spoken to, he would have been in a very dangerous situation for a aerodynamic stall. This shouldn't happen with an aeroplane as sophisticated as an A320. And one can only suggest that weather, either updraft or something like that, may be a factor. It's too early to work out exactly what's happened there, but certainly travelling too slow at that altitude.
And as we eventually discovered with that, if you recall, the Air France crash off South America, where weather ice interfered with
the pitot tubes.
Yes, and so yes. Pilots were getting a false reading of their airspeed.
Indeed, and a couple of people have also speculated that this looks like it could be or could be something like the Air France 447 tragedy. But again, you know, the aeroplane, the A320, is a very sophisticated aeroplane. The pilot was a 20,000-hour veteran, although some media have reported he had 7,000 hours. That was 7,000 hours with AirAsia. But in his total flying time, 20,000, so an experienced captain, a very sophisticated, very good aeroplane. But the weather was horrid. We've seen some radar plots of the weather, and it was about as nasty as you can get.
Well, the radar plots were extraordinary, and they showed a great concentration of, we're all familiar with it now, the dark red and black of intense storm cells. How much of that is, would the pilot be aware going in, and how much discretion does the pilot have to make up their own minds about how to deal with that situation?
Well, this is a very interesting point you raise, because my information is that the radar on this aeroplane was not the very latest radar. And the very latest radar are called multi-scan, and they scan up and down continuously, because with thunderstorms, if you look at them directly ahead of you at 36,000 feet, there's virtually no reading off them because they're ice, and ice is dry, and you don't get a reading. Whereas a multi-scan radar looks to the base of the thunderstorm, looks at the intensity of the rain, then calculates how high that thunderstorm is and how dangerous it is. That's a very simplistic way of putting it. It's far more complicated than that.
Well, let's look at that, because we're familiar with what happens with a thunderstorm down at sea level. It's loud and we get rained upon, but at 30,000 feet...
It's ice.
And a lot of wind and a lot of fast-moving air. I mean, walk us through some of the physics of what's going on in those storms.
Well,
systems. Some
of the physics of it, you have vertical speeds in the centre of a thunderstorm, vertical speeds of up to about 160 kilometres an hour. That's in the very worst-case scenario. You have ice, and as people on the eastern seaboard of Australia would know in particular, the ice sometimes goes all the way to the ground in the form of hail, and that can be very, very nasty hail as well. You're talking about golf ball size, you're talking baseball size sometimes in the very worst cases. So a thunderstorm is not something to be messed with. And in the 50s and 60s, a lot of aeroplanes were lost to thunderstorms because radar in those days was no better than a rain gauge. It was a very rudimentary rain gauge. You just got a return which said, yes, there's water in front of you somewhere. Today, they're multicoloured, and with the new multi-scan radars, it will paint a picture up to 320 kilometres ahead of the plane of the intensity of all the thunderstorms in the path of the aeroplane. Very, very sophisticated piece of equipment, the new multi-scan radars, which Qantas pioneered in 2002. They were the first airline in the world to fit them on their 747s. This aeroplane apparently did not have that capability. Therefore, there is a bit of a dark science to using standard radars with very intense thunderstorms, and he may have been fooled.
And the pilot response, though, is to go around or over that storm cell of this type?
Absolutely, but if listeners have seen the radar picture of that particular area,
pretty hard to
avoid. There wasn't much option. It was very nasty everywhere, and just nastier in some spots. And interesting, and possibly important of what we're going to learn, is that contact was lost approximately where this aeroplane encountered a major cell.
This is the other issue too. I mean, speaking of contact, I mean, here is an aircraft being tracked with all the sort of devices we're familiar with radar, with GPS. How can it simply disappear?
Well, it disappears if it crashes. It disappears if it crashes into the sea, or lands, if you like, or lands on the sea. It disappears off radar.
Yes, it's one of the euphemisms of our age, is it not, that a plane has disappeared? I think we know what that means. The question, though, lingers. I mean, with GPS, for example, I mean, we can track our phones. We can't track an aircraft.
I know. We've had the same sort of discussion with MH370. We live in a world of instant this and instant that, and we can look for things on Google Earth and things like that and look at our barbecue in our back garden. But when it gets to an aeroplane out to sea somewhere in nasty weather, it becomes a great deal more difficult.
Planes keep crashing, Geoff Thomas. Is this going to rock, do you think, consumer confidence in aviation?
It certainly doesn't do it any good. We have to balance this with the fact that there are 100,000 flights around the globe every day. There are 3.5 billion people flying every year. It's a massive, massive industry. But having said that, yes, MH370, MH17, and now this AirAsia flight, certainly very close to home. Many Australians on board, although not in this particular case, we understand. Yes, confidence will be shaken somewhat.
Geoff, thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure, Jonathan.
Geoff Thomas, editor of AirlineRatings.com.